Well, I got good news and bad news. The good news, we're starting the lesson early. The bad news is we might get out early. So, because when I'm through with whatever I got, we're through. So, might do that. All right, I need some text this morning. I need somebody to look up Micah 6, 6 through 8. Raise your hand, whoever's going to. Okay, Eloise, hold that text. I need somebody to look up Jeremiah 9:24. Somebody look up and hold up. Okay, Linda. Then I need somebody immediately find Matthew, the 19th chapter, and we'll start with verse 16. Who's that going to be? Somebody can read. Roger, you can read nice and loud. Okay. Lesson this morning is on Jesus and the law. So I look forward to a lesson like this. So in the ministry of Jesus, what text would you use from the four Gospels that if you had to sum up how Jesus felt about the law, what text would you use? What quotation would you use? Pardon?
Love the Lord with all your heart. And yourself.
Okay. What other ones would you use? I see you all pondered this all week. I can tell. All right. What other text would you use if you somebody said, how did Jesus feel about the law?
5.
Pardon?
Matthew 5.
What was that one? Don't read it to me, just paraphrase it.
Well, I didn't come to abolish the law.
Oh, he came, okay. I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law. That's an excellent one. What other one? Yes?
I think he demonstrated that just the law by itself means
okay.
With the rich young ruler.
All right, we're going to come to that one. That's Matthew 19. What other quotations? How about, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That's the one that generally comes to mind. Especially if we want to prove to whoever we're talking to that the Ten Commandments are still binding, that the Ten Commandments are still there. That's the text we generally say. Jesus says, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, the next question is, what would you interpret when Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments, what would you interpret the commandments to be?
All ten of them.
All right. That's very important. What else would you consider His commandments to be?
Good morning.
How are y'all doing? Y'all got anything good to share? This class so far has been not too happy.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, believe me, because I had to start the lesson 10 minutes earlier than I intended to. So, good to have y'all here. All right, keep my commandments, all 10 of them. What else would you interpret, if anything? Is that it? Yes.
Love God and love your fellow man.
Okay. Some would say, well, that's the Ten Commandments. But I agree with you. Yes. Did you raise your hand? Oh, okay. I saw something. Oh, yeah. What other? Is that it? So when he said, love me, keep my commandments, that's the Ten Commandments. And that's it. That's exactly what he meant. All right. Nothing wrong with that. All right. What I like to look at is in any topic that we look at is a common thread that runs through, in this particular case, the four Gospels. And so this morning, when it comes to law and Jesus' attitude about it, I want to go to the story of the rich young ruler. Because I think that really embodies what Jesus' attitude was and what we should learn about the relationship of Jesus and the law. So, Roger, let's start it out. Nice and slow, nice and loud.
And behold, one came to him and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain
All right, let's stop there. Now, let's analyze the words because they're important. First of all three of the writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, tell the story of this of the rich young ruler. John does not. John wrote his epistle much, much later than the other three. Matthew wrote his after Mark and Luke. And each one of them have a little different perspective. Matthew's description of the ruler is that he's young. Luke's description of the ruler is that he's rich. So again, we have different people inspired by God looking at the same story, but with different impressions. That's just like, you know, if we take five eyewitnesses that see the same thing, you're going to have generally five different observations of what was important. And so to Matthew, him being young was important. Now, he asked a question. What was that question? How did he start off his address? Teacher. What does that tell you right there? Yeah. He's not looking at this Messiah, this representative of God, the Son of God. He just looks at him as a good teacher. So a teacher. Now, does he ask a good question? Well, I think he asked the only good question there is. What must I do to obtain eternal life? Now, just stop and think. In your life experience, what more important question could a person ask? What more important answer could a person seek than what do I have to do to get eternal life? So I think it's important that we look. Come on in. How are we doing? Good. Pardon? Oh, no. Good. What's the enrollment at Burton?
276.
Wow! Let's give that a big hand. That's good. Okay, now, we got to look at the answer from this teacher because I think the same answer he gives the rich young ruler is the answer he gives us. All right, so teacher, what do I must do to have eternal life? First of all, do you think his question is sincere? Do you think his question is open-minded? Well, let's take a look at it. Next.
And he said to him, "Why are you asking about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life."
Okay, hold on there. Why did Jesus take this form of dialogue? Why did he do that? Anybody? Well, I'll tell you why. I'm a sales trainer. So one of the best ways to find out what a person is thinking is not to answer questions. It is to ask questions. And in a selling situation, you have two people. There's only one person of the two that's going to have control. And in selling, if the customer has control and you're the sales rep, you're in trouble. Just a fact. If you're in control and the customer's not, you're in good shape. So Jesus, who by the way is the master of selling techniques, immediately takes control by asking a question of his own. Because, come on in. Good morning. They made me start early, so don't worry. Glad to have you here with us. So Jesus immediately takes control of the dialogue. So what was the question he asked him?
If you wish to enter in...
No.
And he said, why are you asking me about what is good?
Yeah. So he said, good teacher, why are you asking me? Because he wants the rich young ruler to open up his heart. He wants the rich young ruler to open up his mind. So the way you do that is you ask questions. Now, go ahead.
There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments.
All right. Now, as Seventh-day Adventists, we've got to love this answer. Because what are we good at? What are we good at? What do we tell the world we're good at? We keep the commandments. In fact, we use all the text as the only identifying mark of who we are. We're the only church that has a prophet, and we're the ones that keep the commandments. So, wow, this is us. So Jesus says, keep the commandments. Now, how do you think the rich young ruler felt? He felt fantastic because what was he good at? Keeping the commandments. We have to be careful that we don't fall into the same category of thinking that we have eternal life made because we keep the commandments. Nothing wrong with keeping the commandments. But let's see exactly. Now, Jesus has a chance to establish of the Ten Commandments which ones are the most important. Would not you agree? Because he's going to answer the question. So let's see which of the ten that Jesus thought was absolutely the most important to keep.
And he said to him, which one? And Jesus said...
Now, doesn't the world ask us in a sense, well, which one of those commandments? If not, we tell them which one's the most important. Right? Now remember, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I've chosen to be a Seventh-day Adventist twice in my life. Once as a small child of 13 and once as an adult. So I love this church. But we like to tell people. So if somebody asks us which one is the most important, what do you think our answer is going to be? Don't even answer it. See? Because we want to go to what Jesus answered. And I think it's going to be the same. The seventh day Sabbath. Just wait and see. Hit it, Roger.
You shall not commit murder.
Oh, well, nothing wrong with that one.
You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, nothing wrong with that one.
You shall not steal.
Nothing wrong with that. Let's get to the good ones.
You shall not bear false witness.
Nothing wrong with that one.
Honor your father and mother, and you should love your neighbor as yourself.
Nothing wrong with that one and that one. Now read the good one.
That's it. So the young man said...
Oh. That's it. Wow. Do you think that Jesus missed a great opportunity to witness? Because he had the opportunity to hammer home the most important part of that Ten Commandments, which is the fourth one. He could have hammered that home.
Ernie?
Who said Ernie? Oh, okay, I like you, Mill. Go ahead.
As a Jewish nation, they thought they had that fourth one already nailed. I mean, they had... hundreds and hundreds of laws telling him how
absolutely.
To do that fourth
commandment. And do we have that one nailed? Oh, backwards and forwards. Now, Jesus gave five commandments. They're the last five. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying when he gave that answer? Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Honor your mother and your father.
All about how you treat others.
Pardon?
How you treat others. All about how you treat others. All of it.
How you treat others. Wow, that's kind of an interesting concept. A little bit later on, Jesus comes across and he wants to tell the people all about the judgment. And he says it's very simple. You got your little sheeps and you got your goats. And how did he separate those sheeps and the goats? Pulling out a record book? Going down a list? How did he separate them? Come on, help me out. That's right. And what was the criteria? Yeah. The ones over here on the right. He said, I was thirsty, and you did what? Gave me water. I was hungry and you did what? I was naked and you did what? I was in prison and you did what? And what was their answer? Very important. Well, when did we do that? You see, the righteous never understand that they're totally righteous on their own. The righteous, when they know God, become more and more like God, and they do what God does because that's their nature, that's who's working in them, and they don't even realize that they're doing it to gain salvation. It's who they are. And they're stunned. And they say, well, we never did this. And what was Jesus' answer? If you do it for Him, you've done it to me. Now, what was the criteria for the goats over here on the left?
Same thing.
And what was their answer? What? No, theirs was a little different. Oh, if we'd known it was you, man, we would have come and visited you. Not all these other idiots. But you, we would have come. And if we had saw you thirsty, well, we would have given you water. Not all these others. Man, if we saw you naked, we'd give you my robe, but not all these others. The common thread of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when it comes to salvation and the judgment, is how did you treat your fellow man? What do you think the reason of the Good Samaritan was? Parable of the Good Samaritan. What happened when the priest came by? Ain't got time. What happened to when the other one came by? Ain't got time. What happened when the enemy came by? thank goodness that salvation is not premised on intellectual knowledge. So here's a rich young ruler. Was he sincere or not? Don't know. Part of me thinks he was. Part of me thinks that he just wanted a big pat on the back. But let's say he's sincere. Good teacher. Nothing special. Just kind of a good teacher. What must I do to gain eternal life? Well, keep the commandments. Oh, I've done that since I was a little kid. Look at me. I have the truth. I have kept the truth. By the way, which one of these commandments do you think is the most important? Because since I've done all 10 of them, I just want another little pat on the back. Well, you should keep the Sabbath. Oh man, I got that one down. You should have no other... Oh, I got that one down. Remember, when they came back from Babylon, idolatry never again existed for the Jewish nation. Never. But then he said, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, honor thy mother and thy father. What does he say, Roger?
The young man said to him, all these things I have kept, what am I still lacking?
Ah, even then he doesn't have the picture. All these things I have done, don't lie. I don't cheat. I honor my mother and my father. It's interesting that Jesus held that one to last. Actually, you think he would have started that one off first. But he holds it to last. He says, well, I've done all that. Remember, we're an organization that keeps all of the commandments. Because that's what we tell the world. Okay. Well, it seems to me that the discussion could have ended right here. Because the guy is saying, I am a good Seventh-day Adventist. I do all of these. Is that correct?
Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete...
Up. Now... What was the question the rich young ruler asked when he said what? What am I what? What am I lacking? Now this is a pivotal point in the story. He says, I've kept everything. I'm a great Ten Commandment keeper. I've done this since I was a little child. What do I lack? Wow. This is, in the selling situation, this is the buying question. What do I lack?
If you wish to be complete.
All right. If you wish to be whole.
Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. You shall have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me.
Wow. Why this answer? Why this answer?
That's the true mission work. That's the work of the church and individuals. Help your fellow man.
You see, when you ask God a question, straightforward, He's going to give you the answer. I mean, Nicodemus did the same thing. Nicodemus came, asked a question, and then he wanted to begin a great theological discussion with this humble man. The rich young ruler came and wanted to be patted on the back again that he was on the right track. And Jesus says, let me tell you what you lack. Sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor. And then what was the other word?
Follow
me. Why that answer? Because that one seemed pretty rough. Why that answer?
I think it was a complete surrender. Because of the lifestyle of having everything, and Jesus didn't even have a roof over his head.
Okay. But yet Abraham was one of the most richest people in the world. And God said, he's my friend.
Heart condition.
Did the man feed the poor that were hungry? No. You see, it's easy to talk the game. It's hard to walk the game. It's easy as a rich young ruler to say, I have done all of these things since I was a little kid. What in the world could I lack? It's easy for a denomination to say, we've had this understanding for 200 years. What in the world could we lack? The moment the rich young ruler thought he had eternity made is the most dangerous time in a person's life. The time a denomination thinks we have it all down is the most dangerous time a denomination can have. Because surely God, in His graciousness and His kindness and His love, has a greater light, a greater work, a greater opening for us to do than to sit back and say, since we were children, I have done all of this. And Jesus says, really? Only when He asks, what do I lack? He says, really? Well, then sell everything. Give it to the poor. Follow me. But notice Jesus didn't stop there. Sell everything, give it to the poor, follow me. But what else did he say?
But when the young man heard this statement...
No, what else did Jesus say? Move up.
If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven.
Do you see the trade-off? Didn't leave him without hope. He didn't say, go sell everything, give it to the poor, follow me. I don't know what's going to happen. He said, no. You came and asked a question. How do I get eternal life? He says, I'm going to show you. Sell everything you got. Give it to the poor. Follow me, and what will be waiting for you? The only reason we're put here on this earth. The only reason that God's biggest desire is that we spend eternity with Him. That is the only thing that He is interested in our lives. He loves us because He wants us to spend eternity with Him. He cares for us because He wants us to spend eternity with Him. That is His desire. Now the rich young ruler has his question answered. What does he say? Roger.
But when the young man heard the statement, he went away grieved. For he was one who owned...
He went away what?
Grieved.
Grieved.
For he was one who owned much property.
And Jesus said to
that's
them,
it. Like, that's it. How did he go away? Sorrowful. Sad. Now, we have people in here that do counseling. So I give you my humble opinion of counseling. Could be wrong. I think, am I correct? You correct me if I'm wrong. I won't listen, but correct me if I'm wrong. No, a lot of people come to counseling looking for solutions, but do some people come to counseling trying to get reinforced what they're doing?
Absolutely.
I went to counseling one time. Galen Richardson. Do you all know Galen Richardson? Okay. I walked in, I sat down, he said, what can I tell you that you don't know already? Excuse the language, but I'm going to quote it. I said, after pondering 30 seconds, not a damn thing. Let's go eat lunch. And that's exactly what we did. The rich young ruler, like many of us, is looking for a reinforcement of what they think. Maybe he was sincere. Maybe he was had a feeling. I think the Holy Spirit was working in his life. But when you come to God and you ask a question and you plead, He's going to give you an answer. That answer either moves you closer to Him or further from Him. And he went away sorrowfully. He went away sad. Because he couldn't pull the trigger on what his problem was. Now, there's another thing that I can't find any sources that say this, but I believe it's correct. Is another problem that he had. When he was rich, how did the Jewish nation look at him as far as spiritual? Pardon?
Blessed by God.
Blessed by God. Remember, rich equals blessings. Remember the story of Job. Very wealthy, very everything. When things went south, what was the first question his three closest friends said? What have you done wrong? And I think the biggest part of the rich young ruler story is if he had have sold and given and followed, what would his friends have said? Oh my, there goes a sinner. It's easy to sit and say that God has 10 laws and this is what He looks at and this is what He judges. Jesus came to show what God had in mind by demonstrating. And everything from the Good Samaritan to the rich young ruler to the separation of the sheep and the goats has always been on how do you treat your fellow man. By the way, this is nothing new. Because I'm going to go to the Old Testament and give you as many texts I could give, but we're going to not just give two. And I'm going to show you the same philosophy is in the Old Testament. This is not new. So who has Micah 6, 6 through 8? Read it nice and slow, nice and loud.
What should I bring before the Lord?
All right. Now, get the question? What does God want from us? Remember, this is Micah appealing to, which one of them? Israel or Judah? One of the two. And he's trying, they're getting ready to get destroyed. Captivity. So here he is. What does God want from you?
When I come to bow before God on high, should I come before Him? with burnt offerings?
Should I come before God with my tithe?
With my year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 streams of oil?
Okay. Now, what does God want? Does He want my tithing? Does He want all the possessions I have? Does He want me coming to church? Does He want me being at a prayer meeting? Oh, we don't have one. Does He want me to come to MV? Oh, don't have one. Does He want me to come to church?
Should I give my firstborn for my transgression?
Listen, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. God, listen, do you want my firstborn? Hold it. Do you want my firstborn? Now, where'd that come from? What were all the other nations doing? They're sacrificing their firstborn to please their gods. In Egypt, final appeal to Pharaoh was the ultimate. So this person is saying, look, God, do you want the finality? Do you want my firstborn?
He has told you, men, what is good.
All right, now here we come.
What is it?
Hold it. Hey, Louise, hold it. Here it comes. He's going to tell us what is good. Did He tell the rich young ruler what was good? Did He tell the parable of the Good Samaritan to show what is good? Did He not tell the story of the sheepies and the goats and what was good? Now here in the Old Testament, He's going to tell us what is good. And I bet that, if I was a betting man, that it's going to be keep the Ten Commandments. Hit it.
What is it the Lord requires of you?
Uh-oh, here's what the Lord wants.
Only to act justly.
Act justly.
And to love faithfulness.
To love what?
Faithfulness.
To love faithfulness.
And to walk humbly with your God.
Wow. Oh, Micah probably was confused. Go to Jeremiah 9:24. Who has that one?
I do.
Who? Oh, yes.
But let him who glory in this.
All right. Now, this is God says, now, whoever wants to glory in me, glory in this.
That he understands and knows me.
Oh. Uh-oh. This one's kind of interesting. First thing is to do what? Understand and know who? No, God. Okay? And what's the results of that?
That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth.
Okay. That's it. I'm what? Loving kindness. Exercising what? What? And what else?
Righteousness.
Now, how do you get into that state of walking humbly with God and giving justice and seeing God with loving kindness and have the ability to clothe a naked person? How do you get there? The same principle as the Ten Commandments on the Mount Sinai. Just before the Ten Commandments were given, God came through Moses and He said to the children of Israel, "Will you follow me?" He just led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Gave them water from a rock, manna from heaven, a cloud during the day to keep them cool, fiery cloud at night to keep them warm. And He comes and He says, "Will you follow me?" And their answer was, "Yes." And then He said, come to the mountain. And then he brought Moses up. And then we look at the Ten Commandments. It says, thou shalt not. Most theologians will agree that the Ten Commandments, not theologians, but people that know Hebrew, will agree that the Ten Commandments were written in the future tense. I can say to Jim, James, thou shalt walk through this door about 11:20 today. That's futuristic. Or I can say, thou shall walk through that door at 11:20. That's command. So Jesus, God, well, by the way, Jesus wanted to give the Ten Commandments. He brought them to Sinai. And if they're in the future tense, what was the question he asked just before he brought them to the mountain to give them the Ten Commandments? Will you what? Follow me. And they said, absolutely. Now that lasted about 22 minutes. And he brought them and he said, if you get to know me, because that's the most important thing there is, to know God. John says, how do I get eternal life? To know you, the only true person. He says, if you get to know me, and we have a relationship, well, never cross your mind to have other gods than me. Never cross your mind to take my name. Well, certainly you wouldn't want other idols. You'll love that we have a day a week that we can spend together. If you know me, you will give honor to your parents. If you know me, you won't even think about killing somebody. If you know me, you won't want to commit adultery. If you know me, you won't steal. You won't covet. You won't bear false witness. And then Jesus came along in the New Testament and said, look, I'm going to give you the proof positive. If you think you're a Ten Commandment keeper, and you know me, then when you see somebody hurting, what are you going to do? What did Jesus do? Here comes a leper. Hugs him. Touches him. Then heals him. Comes a woman of issue of blood. Everybody's hot, jostling, touching. He feels her. Stops. Woman loses her son. Woman Samaritan, a dog. His message went to people who were hurting. But yet we, sometimes like the rich young ruler, we say, only us have the understanding of the Ten Commandments. Only us as a denomination fit the priority of being the commandment keeper, and we have a prophet, so therefore we're the true church. I believe that God uses the Seventh-day Adventist church in a mighty, mighty way. But show me a sermon from Jesus that puts down other people to exalt themselves. And imagine the arrogance when we, wanting to witness to people, say, well, first of all, you must understand, we're the only ones that are right. If you were my salesman, I'd fire you. God gave the Ten Commandments to show what we will become like if we know Him. Without Him, we're the Pharisees who were so good at being the chosen people of God, were the only ones who kept His commandments, who were the only ones that were righteous. They were so righteous that they could not even bear to be with a Gentile or a Samaritan. They were so righteous because they were chosen by God, that when the Creator of the universe came and walked among them, they were so righteous, being the chosen nation of God, that their greatest desire and fulfillment was to kill Him. May each one of us, in our private devotions, ask that question, God, what lackest me? And you know what His answer will be? Come and know me a little bit better. Let's walk along together a little bit more. Let's walk along and discuss things a little bit more. For you see, when we begin to know Him, everything falls into place. When we know God, what a wonderful message we have to the world. But God comes first. So it's my prayer this morning that as we look at the New Testament, the basis of judgment, please do not misunderstand me. I am not doing away with the commandments one bit. I'm not doing away with Sabbath keeping one bit. What I'm saying is you can do that all day long and still lack knowing God. Know Him first, and everything will change in your life. How I would love to have the opportunity to put the Sabbath in that context instead of proof text that somebody other church changed it and you got to keep it or else. And then we wonder why we're not evangelizing the world. The context, know God. When we bring people to God, the Holy Spirit does the work. Father in heaven, how gracious You are. Many times in the Old Testament we see a lot of horror stories, but that thread runs through the Old Testament. In Isaiah, You talk about tears running down Your face and how Your heart is broken and how You have our names on Your hands. In Jeremiah, You talk about how Your eyes well up in tears. In Hosea, You say, I've raised You, I'm brokenhearted. All through the Bible, Your desire is for us to walk with You, because to know You is the beginning of eternal life. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for this Sabbath school class. Give us each a blessing today is my prayer. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.